I got to fly, though, so turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians. If we reference the passage here with the fruit of the Spirit are mentioned in Galatians chapter number 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This fruit, you know, you think about the fruit of the Spirit. And as I've just week by week been contemplating this and thinking about it, you know, these are elements, these are things that every one of us would like to have in our life. I mean, these are things that we want. You know, it's not like God said, okay, as a Christian, you got to have spinach every day. Oh, man, who wants spinach every day? Now, some of you might like spinach, yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, the idea of, it's not like God said, okay, the fruit of the Spirit is going to produce these things in your life, and we're like, oh, no, peace? Oh, I got to have peace in my life? Oh, no, man, but I'm a Christian, and God's going to do it, so I guess I'll have peace. No, these are things that we want in our life. We want love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. These are, I mean, we would, you know what? If somebody could package it, if they could somehow find a way to make it into a compound or an element or a drink, boy, they would pass up Bill Gates and how much they would worth, because this world, these are things that we want. And God says, hey, the Spirit of God is going to produce these in your life as a Christian. The fruit of the Spirit are these things, and these are things that we want. A.W. Tozer said this about the fruit of the Spirit. In his eloquent way, he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and he says, you know, each fruit is like a color in the spectrum of colors. And our lives are the prism through which the light, that light, the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ, the light of the world shines through our life, and the prism puts forth every color, and each color distinct and vivid and noticeable, the different elements of the fruit of the Spirit evident in the Christian's life as the light of Christ shines through us. These are things that we want in our life. This morning, as we look at the idea of peace, we're, of course, not dealing with national peace. You know, we know that that's not going to come till the Lord comes. There's always going to be nation against nation. There's always going to be uprisings and conflict. Even local governments can't seem to find any peace today. But what we're talking about is peace in the heart of each individual. As men today look for peace, it's amazing the things that they'll try and do. You know, one of the large selling points for participating in yoga is to find the inner peace. Find that core. Sit down and meditate and stretch your body in all kinds of weird contortions. Release the bad energy and let good energy flow. It's all new age, and it's a faith in itself if you get into that deeply, and I wouldn't recommend it. Hey, there's nothing wrong with stretching, nothing wrong with exercising. Those are all good things. But when you get into that idea of meditating and trying to, through the power of your mind, release wrong energy and, you know, setting three rocks in a certain pattern in front of you are going to bring in, I mean, it's a religion in itself. And I wouldn't encourage anybody to get too far into that. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to find peace. Let go of the stress of life. You know, that's what prayer does. Trying to find this inner peace. Some people look to sex and drugs and alcohol. Ultimately, you know, that's just a distraction. You know, it might not even be something as bad as that. It might even be just entertainment. People look for peace. They just want a distraction from the stress for a little while. And so they get engulfed in or distracted by some type of entertainment. But we know that doesn't fix the problem. It doesn't fix the stress in the home. It doesn't fix the problem at work. It doesn't fix the situations that are bearing down upon you. Many times the distraction makes the problems worse. Vance Havner said, peace is not packaged in a pill. That just doesn't come in a pill. It's not something you can just take, although many people think that you can. There's all kinds of psychiatrists out there that will prescribe a pill for you to help you have peace. What it does is it takes away your awareness. It takes away a little level of your cognitive thinking. Just makes it so you're just not so aware of what's going on. Oh, but I feel good when I'm taking it. Peace is not a state of mind, it's a condition of the heart. The heart is the throne room that peace resides in. Most of the world does not know the peace of God because they are missing the key element, and that is peace with God. That's peace with God. So how do we have this peace with God? In Job chapter 22, verse number 21, you know Job and all that he went through, all the stress that he felt. He says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Acquaint thyself with God. Know God and you can be at peace. Peace, Webster's 1828 dictionary defines it as this, in a general sense, a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation, applicable to society, to individuals, and even to the temperament of one's mind. You know, I've never yet met a person that wouldn't rather tranquility over turmoil or peace over pressure or contentment over conflict. I mean, that's what we desire. And here the fruit of the Spirit is going to produce peace in our life if we're walking in the Spirit. It starts with having peace with God. Thayer's definition, Bible definitions, defines it as this. Peace of the Christian is a tranquil state of the soul assured of its salvation in Christ. So fearing nothing from God, he is content with his earthly lot, whatever sort it is. The word peace appears in the Bible 429 times. It's something that God wants us to have, and we should have peace with God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, we see that phrase. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that that is the only place in the Word of God that you see that phrase, peace with God? I don't know for sure that this is the reason that God put it in there only one time. But it sure is applicable that the fact of the matter is you only get peace with God one time. You see, you come to the cross, and when we're lost, we're at enmity. The Bible says we're at enmity with God. We're an enemy of God. When you're willing to finally sign the treaty, when you're willing to surrender to God, and you come to Him, and you come to the foot of the cross, and you say, okay, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. You confess your sin to him. You get forgiveness of your sin. Hey, he signs the treaty, and once it's done, you're adopted into the family of God. That father-son relationship is developed. It happens one time. It never needs to happen again. You get peace with God one time. That's where peace starts. This world tries to find it many other places, but it's got to start with having peace with God. And you get it by coming to the cross, confessing your sins and trusting Him as your Lord and Savior. When this peace is experienced and received, we find relief from the burden of sin, from the guilt of sin. We discover we are no longer at enmity with God Almighty. When we recognize the problem of sin and we acknowledge that God provided a Savior for it, we can have peace with God. Amen? Peace with God. That's where it starts. In Colossians 1, verse 19 and 20, he says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. All things are reconciled unto him. All men are reconciled unto God through the cross of Jesus Christ. That's how we have peace with God. And that makes it possible for us to have peace in ourselves. To have peace in ourselves. And that's what we desire. That's what this world is looking for. To have peace in our own heart. But it doesn't come without God. Without God and first having peace with him. Then we can have peace within ourselves. Having that settled, knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven, knowing that you're not at enmity with God, God's forgiven you, you know that. You know, as Christians, I hope that you know that that's settled. You know I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not at enmity with God, I'm saved. Having that settled, then why do so many Christians still not have peace? Why? Do you know? You know why? Because this is a fruit of the Spirit. In your text there, look back. You understand the works of the flesh are contrary to the fruits of the Spirit. In chapter 5 there, look at verse number, 19. Verse number 19. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft." Okay, here you go. The opposites of peace here: hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. I would say that's a pretty good list of the opposite of having peace. And here is the thing. God is the author of peace. He says in that verse that we're familiar with, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." And God is the author of peace, and he wants to give us peace, but the problem is we're not living in the Spirit. We are living in the flesh and producing the fruit of the flesh, which is the opposite of peace. God wants us to have peace in our heart, and the fruit of the Spirit is going to produce peace. But not when we're living in the flesh. When we're living in the flesh, we're going to produce the fruit that the flesh produces, which is this list of things here. You understand that carnality literally destroys your peace. We just did that. It's very fitting with today's lesson here, but we just did that three-part series on the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man, and illustrated the body and how we're a trichotomy, and that the man, when he sinned in the garden, his spiritual part of him, the God consciousness, died immediately there in the garden. But when we have new life in Jesus Christ, that life is given back to us, and we have spiritual life. But then you have the third person. The third person is the carnal man, and the carnal man is living like he's dead. You see, the Bible says in Romans 8, verse number 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, when we're living carnally, when we're living after the elements of the flesh, when we're producing those things, we are literally now, once you're saved, you're always saved. You cannot kill. Only God can take life and give life, and God gives you spiritual life. You have that, but you're living like you're dead. To be carnally minded is death. It is to be living as though you didn't have spiritual life. And the peace that God wants you to have in your heart is not going to be present. But to be spiritually minded is life. You're living like the life that God has given you, the spiritual life that God has given you inside, and peace. So we need to live spiritual lives because, what does he say there? He says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You want peace in your heart? Live obedient to God. Love God supremely. follow God. And you need to let the peace of God rule in your heart. The Bible says that. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You see, it's a choice. It's a choice to let the peace of God rule. He says you need to let the peace of God rule in your heart. It's a byproduct of the Spirit of God to produce peace in your life. But we have a choice to make. We can choose to let that peace rule. You know that verse that we love to quote, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Oh, we're going to, the peace of God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. But let's put that phrase, the peace of God, which passes all understanding that we want, let's put it into context. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And with thanksgiving, you're right. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds, right? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. But what's after that? Does anybody know? What's the very next verse? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So that verse that we love, the peace of God which passes all understanding, God's going to give you that peace in your heart. Taking it in context, God says you got to control this. You want that peace of God? The byproduct of following the Lord and doing what right is God's going to give you peace in your heart. But you have to control what it is you're thinking about. You can choose to let the peace of God rule in your heart and follow after that. Or you can choose to, I just don't know what I'm going to do. This is so much problem. You say, I just can't quit thinking about it. I can't quit worrying. It's on my mind all the time. Yeah, you can. It's your choice. You choose to let the peace of God rule in your heart, or you choose to dwell on the trials in this world. There was some years ago a man who was looking for, desired, the ultimate image of the peace of God. And he was looking for a while for it. Finally, he decided, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to put it out there. And he sent letters to many of the greatest artists in the country and said, I would like you to produce a picture of peace. The best you can come up with, give me the best picture, and I'll award, and I don't remember what he was going to give away to the greatest picture, but they were going to determine the best one, and he was going to win an award. And pretty soon the picture started coming in, and they started judging these pictures of peace. And as the pictures come, there's some with just amazing sunsets and serenity of a calm beach, and there's some there with the sheep grazing in the field and the sunrise and dew on the grass. And you think about the artist and how well that they could depict these magnificent scenes of the beauty and the calmness of God's creation. But the winner was one in which there was a storm in the sky. And there was a huge waterfall coming over this cliff, and the water was crashing down. The image was kind of dark, and you could, looking at it, they said people could almost feel the icy cold water as it poured down, and they could see the storm that was there. But there, next to that great tumultuous fall of water, was a little branch that had grown out of the side of that cliff, and in the crook of that branch, there was a bird who had built a nest. And in that nest, with her babies, oblivious to the storm and oblivious to this magnificent waterfall that could kill it like that, was a bird sitting, resting in peace. That was the peace of God. You see, Christian, it's not that we will be absent of storms. It's not that we will be absent of tumultuous waterfalls and trials in our life. But it's that in the midst of the storm, we'll be able to rest in the peace of God. That's what we have with God. That peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and gets in your heart, and a tree begins to grow. And there, off of that tree, is the fruit of peace in your life. Peace that God wants you to have. Then we can have peace with others. Peace with others. As Christians, we are to pursue peace. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 18, he said, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." As much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And I know some Christians like to look at that and say, well, it's just not in me. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is if you could do anything about it, I mean, let's say Miss Sandy just, I mean, it didn't matter what I did, she just had a problem with me. I mean, I was as kind as I could be. I apologized. I did everything. Now, she doesn't have a problem with anybody in the world. She's the sweetest lady. But let's say she was just, didn't matter what I did. That doesn't lie within me. I can't fix that because she has an issue, and I've done everything I can do. I've tried to, but that doesn't lie within me. It's not just saying, oh, well, you know, I don't like Brother Crane, and I can't make myself like him, so... That's not what that's not what he's saying. As much as lieth within you, that means you do everything that you can do to live peaceably with all men. Now, you might not be at peace with everybody, but you can't control what other people do, but you can control what you do. So you should do all you can to lie at peace with all men, to live at peace with all men. We should desire peace and work to have it. Hebrews 12, verse number 14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness." Follow peace with all men. That means that we leave vengeance to God. Follow peace with all men. That means we don't try and get even. That means we don't try and fix it ourselves. We just say, Lord, we do what we can to live peaceably with all men. Follow after it. We're not going to make everybody happy, but you can have peace in your heart. John chapter 16, verse number 33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." But he says, "But in the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." There might be some tribulation in this world. There might be some trials. But as much as lieth within you, you ought to have peace. I'm not going to take time to teach through all of these, but the Word of God, with regards to the Christian, tells us we should do several things with peace. Let me just give them to you, and I'll give you the reference. You can write them down, look them up later. We are to love peace, Zechariah 8, verse number 19. We are to seek peace, Psalms 34, verse number 14. I know I'm going too fast. Love peace, Zechariah 8, 19. Seek peace, Psalms 34, 14. We're to follow it. Follow peace, 2 Timothy 2:2. Follow peace, 2 Timothy 2:2. You're to be for peace, Psalms 120, verse number 7. We're to speak peace, Esther 10, verse number 3. So be for it. You be for peace, Psalms 120, verse number 7. You're to speak it. Esther 10, verse number 3. You're to live it. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Live it. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. I'm going to give you this last illustration, and we're going to close. H.G. Spafford, which I know many of you know, but in 1871, in the city of Chicago, there was what is known as the Chicago Fire. 300 people lost their lives, and over 100,000 people were left homeless in the Chicago Fire. H.G. Spafford was an attorney and owned a bunch of land, had a bunch of rental houses and stuff like that. He lost a lot of property, his own property, during the fire. Lost a significant amount of his wealth during the fire. Then, right at that time, he also lost his only son. His only son passed away a very untimely death. But H.G. Spafford committed his resources and his energies to helping the homeless, to working and providing food and shelters for the 100,000 people who were without. For over 2 years, he labored tirelessly to try and meet the needs of the people there in the city of Chicago. After 2 years, literally worn to a frazzle, him and his family decided it would be good for them to get away for a little while. And H.G. Spafford was good friends with D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was holding a revival meetings in England, and so they thought that they would go visit D.L. Moody and spend a few days with him and be part of his meetings and just kind of take a break. So they booked passage on a ship to go over to England, and as they booked this passage, they're about to board, and H.G. Spafford was called back to Chicago on urgent business and couldn't leave. He determined that he would go ahead and send his wife and girls ahead. Then he went back to take care of his business and would, as soon as he could, come and meet them there in England. Well, if you know the story, you know that H.G. Spafford's wife, and actually everybody else, 277 souls on that ship, 276 of them died. The ship didn't make it to England. The ship was struck by another ship, and in less than 20 minutes, it went down. Ann Spafford was the only one that was saved. Ann Spafford was pulled out of the water, and she sent a telegram back to her husband with just two words, and it said, "Saved alone." Just her. H.G. Spafford knew that he had to go to his wife. He booked immediate passage and got on a ship to go join his grieving wife. As the captain of the ship let those that were aboard know that they were in the vicinity that the other ship went down, where H.G. Spafford had lost his four girls. God gave him a song that he wrote that we still sing today, and that's, "It Is Well With My Soul." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, "It is well with my soul." Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. For me, be it Christ, be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pain shall be mine, for death, as in life, thou shalt whisper thy peace to my soul. It is well with my soul. It's the peace of God that can carry somebody like that through that kind of a storm. That's given to us by the Spirit of God as we walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to walk in the Spirit, and we can experience that kind of peace regardless of the storm that we might be going through in life. Peace that God gives. He said, "My peace I give unto thee, not as the world giveth, but his peace." Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for today, and we pray, God, that you would allow us the strength, the determination in our heart to put aside the works of the flesh, to walk in the Spirit, Lord, these are things that we want to have in our life. We want joy. We want love. We want peace. But the old devil, he blinds us to the possibilities and gets us to pursue these useless things of this life and leaves us empty and without peace and without joy. I pray, God, you'd help us to walk in the Spirit. May we know the joy of the Lord. May we experience the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And we ask this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.